Monday, August 18. The first reading from Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. The children of Israel offended the Lord by serving the Baals, abandoning the Lord, the God of their fathers, who led them out of the land of Egypt. They followed the other gods of the various nations around them, and by their worship of these gods provoked the Lord. Because they had thus abandoned him and served Baal and the Ashtaroth, the anger of the Lord flared up against Israel, and he delivered them over to plunderers who despoiled them. He allowed them to fall into the power of their enemies round about, whom they were no longer able to withstand. Whatever they undertook, the Lord turned into disaster for them, as in his warning he had sworn he would do, till they were in great distress. Even when the Lord raised up judges to deliver them from the power of their despoilers, they did not listen to their judges, but abandoned themselves to the worship of other gods. They were quick to stray from the way their fathers had taken, and did not follow their example of obedience to the commandments of the Lord. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, he would be with the judge and save them from the power of their enemies as long as the judge lived. It was thus the Lord took pity on their distressful cries of affliction under their oppressors. But when the judge died, they would relapse and do worse than their ancestors, following other gods in service and worship, relinquishing none of their evil practices or stubborn conduct. Haydah Commentary. What is here said of the children of Israel as to their falling so often into idolatry is to be understood of a great part of them, but not so universally as if the true worship of God was ever quite abolished among them. For the succession of the true church and religion was kept up all this time by the priests and Levites, at least in the house of God in Shiloh. At different times God raised up deliverers who were taken from among his people, and no doubt abhorred the impiety of the multitude. Baal is a title given to many of the idols, both male and female. They are often distinguished by some additional name as Beelzebub and Bereth, gods adored at Acheron and Sichem. Under this name, the pagans adored heaven or the sun, as Ashtaroth denoted some female deity, the moon or Venus, etc. The inconstancy of the Jews was astonishing. The judges raised up by God or chosen by the people under his direction often rescued Israel from servitude, and during the remainder of their lives watched to see the laws put into execution, being assisted by the councils of the senators and magistrates of the nation. They were commissioned to rescue the penitent and suffering Israelites. They had persevered in virtue under the government of Joshua and of the elders for the space of 40 years. We learn that though the life of the libertine might seem delightful, it draws on the most serious evils and provokes the angers of God. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Haydah Commentary. Some conjecture that this young man came only in a dissembling way to try or tempt our Savior as the Pharisees sometimes did, and without any design to follow his advice. But when we hear that he went away sorrowful, he seems to have come with sincerity, but without resolution strong enough to leave his worldly goods and possessions. Christ says there is only one who is good, that is, God alone by his own nature is essentially, absolutely, and unchangeably good. At the same time, he is the source of all created goodness, as all goodness is a mere emanation from his. The person here addressing our Savior appears not to have believed that Christ was God. Wherefore our Savior, to rectify his misconception, tells him that God alone is good, insinuating thereby that he should believe him to be God, or cease to address him by the title of good. The Arian heretics bring this passage to show that Christ is not truly and properly God. But by this way of speaking, Christ does not deny that he is good, even by his nature, and consequently God, but he seems to speak in this manner to make the man know who he was. When our Lord says, "If you wish to be perfect," he shows there is a difference between things that are of precept, that is, obligations, and those that are of counsel only, which they aim at that aspire to the greatest perfection. Evangelical perfection essentially consists in the perfect observance of God's commandments, which is greatly assisted by embracing not only voluntary poverty, but also the other counsels given to us in the Gospels, such as perpetual chastity and entire obedience. Thus, to follow Christ in perfection is to be without wife and care of children, to have no property, and to live in community. This state of life hath a great reward in heaven. This state, we learn from St. Augustine, the apostles followed, and he himself not only embraced it, but exhorted as many others as he possibly could to embrace it. The whole perfection of a Christian life consists in following Christ by an imitation of his virtues, so that he who possesses poverty and chastity does not immediately become perfect, but only enters upon the way of perfection by facilitating his progress to perfection, removing hindrances, and laying aside all care of temporal concerns. In this chapter of Matthew, Jesus Christ delivers the evangelical counsels. In verse 12, before this passage, he recommends continence. Here he proposes voluntary poverty, and immediately adds that of obedience by saying, "Follow me." St. Augustine teaches that the apostles bound themselves by vow to the observance of these three counsels. Why did this young man depart sad, but because he had great riches? It is one thing not to wish for, and another to part with them when once we have them. When we have them, they become incorporated and, as it were, part of ourselves, like food, and when taken, are changed into our own members. No one easily suffers a member of his body to be cut off. So says St. Augustine.